Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Good morning.
It's a new day.
Oh.
It's a new day. It's a new Thursday.
It's a new dawn. It's a new day.
It
Are
is.
You feeling good?
Yes.
Why do you look confused?
I thought you were, it was a movie quote that I was going to miss.
Just a Nina Simone quote that you apparently did miss.
My blackness is forever in question.
Happy Thursday. Good morning. Hi, fiancés.
Hello, fiancés.
Are y'all there? Or are you just hitting the refresh button on whatever, you know, app that you get your news and you are just waiting to see the MAGA Daddy's mugshot?
I mean, that's what everyone woke up Thursday morning for. Let's be honest.
Well, yesterday was a pretty big, we got a big photo dump, if you will.
Yeah.
An August dump of,
Not a photo dump.
I mean.
It's true.
When Rudy Giuliani was like, I'm going to have to go get a mugshot. You know, he was big peeved.
Right.
And, the mugshot's not a good one.
No. Yeah. It's the one I wanted, though.
He looks like a Gotham villain.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a Gotham villain.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
I guess accurate portrayal of, I don't know, this is pretty funny. So much time. He spent so much time.
Perfecting the RICO?
Creating reasons to put people in jail. For his numbers, so, you know, like.
Yeah.
Because tough on crime. But then, is it the older you get, the more criming you do? Like, is this the
Something
correlation
like
we're supposed to?
Yeah.
Hit them 70s, baby, and it's a...
That's what I've been told, anyways.
A spree, if you will.
Yeah.
Well, before we get too far, I do want to make sure that I honor and respect DJ Tempo and let y'all know that she said, say hello to the Tech Squad fam for me. I will not be making it in today.
She's making it in today, guys.
It was a late night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're getting ready to start school again. Summer's coming down to... last couple of days. When's the last chance summer dance? Is that still a thing?
Last chance summer dance.
Oh, Ambush, you know exactly what the last
I do not.
Chance summer dance
is. I do not. Is that the dance like at the end of the school year?
No, at the end of the summer.
Why do you have a dance going back in the school?
Let's go back to the title. Last chance summer dance.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was like last chance before the summer dance. I don't know.
No, it's a concert that used to happen. I don't know if it still does at Waterfront Park.
Mm.
That was like a Z100, you know.
Oh, okay.
Last Chance Summer Dance, 1999 or whatever. Now hits or whatever.
What'd you say? Now what? Oh, yeah, whatever this is called now.
Yeah, I don't know if it still happens, but... yeah, it was a thing. Nope, doesn't look like it still happens.
Yeah.
2004 is looking like the last. Is that real? Yikes.
Yeah, color me clueless. I had no idea what
okay.
that was.
Okay, we don't need to color you anything else.
Are you sure?
We heard you the first time. Okay?
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
No?
I mean, this is we're coloring.
Color you clueless.
Yeah.
I do like it.
Yeah.
Love some alliteration, you know? Ambush.
Yes, ma'am.
Today is Thursday, which means yesterday was Wednesday, which means the very first.
Oh, jeez.
Republican debate. I was trying to think of a word that really is more appropriate.
Debacle.
Debacle.
Mm-hmm.
Republican debacle.
Yes.
Set on stage. 8 people. 7 of whom said, if Donald Trump is convicted of actual criming, they will still support that man. He will still be the nominee. Ooh,
they did.
They will still, you know, you got it, baby.
It's so interesting how they could boldly say that, right? Almost unanimously.
So close.
Yeah. Supporting him, though, at least the way I look at it, is definitely not supporting yourself.
Yeah, I kind of think it's counterintuitive. It's an interesting thing to see. Like, I feel like Ron DeSantis is burning out. And I think that I previously said I wasn't sure what was going to, you know, what's going to happen. None of us are sure.
Right.
But when the people that are running for president, number one, why did they ask them that? That to me seems like a very...
You feel like it's a setup or...
Yeah, absolutely. You're asking the people that are actively running against him and he's already like standing on the fact that not a single one of them is polling even close to him.
Right.
While he is in the middle of...
He's embroiled.
Embroiled in scandal.
I think that alone is reason enough for them to ask. You know what I'm saying? Because it's less about, in this particular situation, for me anyways, it's less about, will you support this guy who's been talking trash about you, who's your obvious opponent, versus, will you support this person who is indicted, has mad cases, got hit with the RICO, could, like, is that who you're going to support? Like, is this is...
Yeah, I feel like if the question were posed that way, maybe I would feel like it was a genuine question to get to the bottom of things.
Mm-hmm.
No, let's get after it.
Yeah.
But instead it was like, hey, y'all, Trump go down. What you gonna do? And they was like, support him, definitely, all the way. And I will absolutely still vote for that man. So, you know, I don't know.
Phenomenal. I needed like an echo button. Phenomenal.
What I'd like to know, fiance, is if you have this information, do you know when they started calling Vivek Ramaswamy Barack Obama 2.0?
Right.
Because I saw the clip of Chris Christie giving bars last night.
Off top.
Just a Barmageddon, if you will. Just a complete and total obliteration of his foes.
Man said, man's is over here sounding like ChatGPT.
Yo!
Bong, bong.
Bang, bang.
Listen. Time! You couldn't tell Chris Christie nothing.
You really couldn't. So I thought, not Barack Obama. Not sure the... Also, what did he say? It was... And I fear he's the same kind of
amateur
or something like that. Yeah. Chris Christie was there to remind everybody, I will close a bridge on you. I will do the things.
Know that.
He came out swinging. I don't know if it went anywhere because that's the only part I saw.
Yeah. Are you going to watch the whole thing? You're going to just put it on while you're doing stuff?
Yeah, I'm actually probably not going to do that.
Oh.
Only because they don't care enough about their own debate. I don't have to know every single thing that Mike Pence lied about yesterday.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Oh,
I do wonder, though, like, does Nikki Haley, when she gets done, is she, like, nailed it to
every time.
The wall?
Every time. Every single time she feels that way.
What did you color me confused?
Yeah, man. You know who else should be colored confused? Larry Elder. I bet you didn't see that coming, Larry. They were like, no. It's quite all right, Larry. You sit this one out and out and out.
Well, and you know, out. you gotta be able to get a lawsuit in, you know, in campaign season. And Larry Elder knows he won't be anybody's actual political
competition.
Yeah.
You know what's really, I do want to see the alternate universe where what happened to Trump happens to Larry Elder. And I only want to experience it in the alternate universe when I can peer into. Where it's like, holy crap, we won? I gotta appoint people. I gotta staff. I gotta put together a staff. Oh, sheesh. Was just trying to get a new reality TV show out of this. Okay, I guess you are gonna run HUD for me.
Ooh.
You know, stuff like that.
Doesn't Larry Elder not believe in like systemic racism?
Yeah.
But then it says it's holding black people back? Or no, 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 I take it back. I take it back. Take it back. Hit the dump button.
I am curious.
I take it back. He said it isn't holding black people back because, right, you know?
Oh, yeah, he's a bootstrapper.
I wonder what happened to him not getting on the ballot when, or on the debate stage when he says that he did everything that he was supposed to do.
Well, it's definitely not because he's black, because Tim Scott's there, was there. So they don't have a problem with black people. They have a problem with me. I'm taking it personal as Larry Elder. Like,
I mean, but finding out you didn't qualify is not a thing that should happen in right now.
But I thought he did qualify, and they were just like, no, no, no.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what how he presented it. But if you didn't qualify,
then you just didn't.
What are we even talking about? I'm going to sue them for.
Oh, it's a stolen qualification, baby.
Oh, I should have known.
Yeah. Yeah. Qualification was stolen.
Elder admitted in a Fox News interview on August 18th that he was still 2,000 unique donors shy of the debate's 40,000 minimum to qualify, a threshold he insisted he had met as of August 21st. Elder had also reportedly not met the RNC's polling requirement of at least 1% in 3 qualifying state and national polls. I wonder how you sue for not qualifying. Like, there's not going to be like a trans person they can blame on this.
No, that sounds like a boy bye to me.
This is definitely a boy bye.
Yeah.
Boy,
go somewhere.
Stop right now.
Go somewhere.
Okay, so Tech Squad fam, holla at us. Are you here? Is it the morning? Are you with us? I didn't mean to ask, is it the morning? It's obviously, very obviously the morning.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm having a hard one. I got to wake it up. First text says, in a contest to see who will finish in second place, all you end up with is a big pile of, quote, number two.
Nice.
Very true. Ambush, what are we going to talk about today? There's a few things. We got a full docket.
Yeah, we do.
I can jump right in.
Okay.
Billionaire-backed landlords are lobbying for the Supreme Court to take up their rent control reversal case because in a national housing crisis, that is exactly how resources should be used to protect investments for the passive income kings and queens out there.
You're already a landlord. Why do you have to, like, publicly, unabashedly be a horrible person?
Well, like, they're not, because they're just, you know, bootstrapping it. It's, if I can do it, so can you. And, hey, man, creating passive income for myself off of your human basic needs is really my right, isn't it?
Oh, as in America.
Yeah.
It is the dream.
Is it freedom or not?
Okay. And additional national news. Police lied about a murder captured on camera. Wait, this just in? Water is wet.
So they did it again, huh? In local news, Portland's universal scapegoat, Joanne Hardesty, settled her lawsuit against the city. And Tevis even had someone write half an apology to her.
Wowzers.
Yeah, it was like, I ain't sorry. Oh, that's not how it
works. I sorry, we sorry, we sorry.
We sorry, but ain't nothing really happened, but the stuff we happened, sorry. But we are not responsible for it.
We sorry for drawing on the wall with my crayons after you told me not to.
You did tell me not to.
And how remote is too remote when your job is to lead our city's efforts and preventing violence. Is that something you can do at a distance?
Oh, I'm pretty sure you can't. I mean, I'm also one of those people that thinks it's silly for, you know, police officers to live in different states and then get to be policing communities that they are not actually familiar with. So I would say that being in charge of like the top safe public safety programs, maybe you would need to be here. Maybe you would need to know the community in which you are keeping safe. Maybe care about it.
So what you're saying is you can't live in Nevada and do that. All right.
It sounds like someone handed someone a job.
Yeah.
You know, we're just going to keep our eye on the Trump button, too. Just not because we care as much as maybe the internet does. But I what I do care about is the fact that he is going to 60 days in. set of 60 days in.
Right.
And is absolutely going to expect some sort of like, you know, immediate special treatment. Because that's just how he rolls. And I just want to see that mugshot.
I wish we had tickets to give away. Because I would be like, the first person to text in the picture of the mugshot gets tickets to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
We don't have any tickets to blah, blah, blah.
We have no giveaway. Oh. You could still text it in if you want.
Yeah, yeah. So I see that, John.
Yeah, I'm down.
I'm down to clown.
It's going to be a lot.
Yeah.
Ron DeSantis, before we move all the way forward.
DeSantis,
who is just getting eviscerated. I mean, do y'all have anything to say? Are there any thoughts and prayers or thoughts and chairs or one in the thought, two in the prayers? What are we going to do for this man? We are watching.
Not for him.
Well, I'm just saying.
It needs to be triaged.
It's looking real bad.
Yeah.
It's what we like to call rough stuff.
Yeah.
And the just watching him grind his teeth up in while being asked, you know, basically, hey, how come you're not doing great? Why are you so bad at campaigning for president?
Hey, what's up with your personal business?
What's up with your personal business and how come you suck so bad doing this job? Watching him grind his teeth up, this is not the first time.
That leathery smile of
but
his.
That, yeah, it's like, this is, can we just be, are you just hitting the bag as soon as you, the camera's off? I know we've all seen what that jaw is. You're gonna tell me that's stress. I don't believe you.
It's going to come out after he drops
that's
out.
That's a narcotic.
It's gonna, that there is a narcotic.
That is called an upper. You are doing the cocaína.
It's going to come out. I'm telling you. It's going to come out either after he drops out or close to it. Or maybe the cause of him dropping out. That someone on his staff is going to leak it. They're going to leak video of him doing the narcotic. Someone's going to say, like, you know, I purchase it for him. I'm his runner. You know, he's going to vehemently deny it.
But I watch him do it all the time.
Yeah. Then the video is going to drop. And then he's going to, you know, fall on some Christian sort of, you know, who hasn't, you know,
fallen,
who hasn't strayed.
The stress of my patriotism.
Yeah. And I've learned my lesson.
It's just so high. That I also needed to be as high as it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's both go on this journey together.
No.
Leaving America. No?
I don't like it.
I feel like it's where it's going to go.
Well, in honor
it writes itself.
In honor of Ron DeSantis, I hope that I gave Ambush a couple of options as we were winding down for the middle of the morning. I don't know which one he's going to play. I don't know if he's going to play one, you know? Who's to say? What I hope to hear is one of my many incredible suggestions. Because we just want to, you know, it's going to be a moment where we're not talking about Ron anymore. We've moved on.
Okay.
And we're not going to see that cocaine jaw. Just a swing.
Just a swing.
Yeah. So,
activating.
Handle that scandal, Ambush.
All right. We're going to hop into a music break. And then we'll be back shortly.
Well, I'm not 100% sure where we want to start.
The Lord's Landing. Huh? The land's lording. I don't know what you're lording.
The Lord's lording. The lords of the land.
Yeah. Lording over the land.
Well, I don't know if you know this, Ambush, but we have a couple of, phrases that we say at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. One of which is people over profits.
Yes.
Because sometimes it goes profits over people most of the time. A lot of the time. A lot of the time. And that can't work. We're living in the proof of it not working. But let me tell you about the profits over people.
What I like.
In a significant development in the ongoing national housing crisis, two landlord lobbying groups are petitioning the Supreme Court to overturn New York City's rent stabilization law. The law, which has been in place since 1969, limits annual rent increases for over a million units in the city, making up almost half of all the rentals. The group's legal challenge could potentially open the door to further challenges against rent control across the country. The petitioners, the Rent Stabilization Association,
come on,
and the Community Housing Improvement Program have brought the case arguing that the rent stabilization law infringes upon landlords' property rights and violates the Fifth Amendment's takings clause.
Wait a minute. CHIP?
Yeah.
CHIP is like an acronym for like children's benefits.
Yeah.
In Pennsylvania.
Well, this is a benefit to children of New York City, is that they won't have a place to live.
Oh. I could continue. I should have waited.
Yeah, unintended benefit. I don't even think they, want to help, but...
Wow.
The law restricts landlords from certain actions, such as leaving apartments vacant, changing their use, or removing complaining tenants after their lease expires. The petitioners contend that these restrictions prevent landlords from fully exercising control over their properties.
Come on.
If the Supreme Court were to rule in favor of overturning the rent stabilization law, it could have far-reaching implications. Legal challenges could be brought against other rent control laws around the country. For instance, in 2024, Californians will vote on a measure to repeal the state's ban on rent control. The court's decision could reshape housing policies nationwide. The petition has gained attention not only for its legal implications, but also for the groups and individuals involved, Ambush. It is worth noting that the petitioners have received support from individuals with close ties to Supreme Clarence Court Thomas Justices.
Come on.
And these ties have raised concerns about potential conflicts of interest. And have led to further calls of transparency, which, they've told us.
How about you? How much more transparency do we need?
They've told us. So the Supreme Court is expected to make a decision on whether to accept the case on September 26th. If accepted, the case could potentially reshape housing policies and rental regulations. There's also growing concern about the practice of landlords leaving rent-stabilized apartments empty. According to a report by the city's independent budget office, there are 13,362 rent-stabilized apartments in New York City that have been vacant for at least two consecutive years.
Good grief.
Suggesting that these apartments are being deliberately held offline or warehoused by landlords in order to avoid rent control. The practice of warehousing apartments is a problem for a number of reasons. It reduces the supply of affordable housing in New York City, which is already in short supply. It also drives up rents for other apartments as landlords try to make up for the lost income from their hoarded apartments. Additionally, it can lead to blight and abandonment in neighborhoods where there are a large number of vacant apartments. There are things that can be done to address that housing hoarding. One option is to increase the penalties for landlords who are caught doing this. Another is to make it easier for tenants to sue landlords who are warehousing apartments. Or the city could offer financial incentives to landlords who rent out their rent-stabilized apartments. Ambush, I'm going to say this. One thing for certain. Creating housing instability for profit. Abandoning vacant properties while complaining about homeless people is some extra nasty work.
Yo.
Extra nasty work. In what regard?
This is laying at Eric Adams' feet right now. Like, he is constantly in the news talking about the immigration issue that he's experiencing. And
that dang Greg Abbott just keeps on sending people.
Right. And he needs a federal assistance. Needs a federal response.
Quick, fast.
You know? And here you are, you got landlords hoarding warehousing apartments.
I mean, I don't even like the term warehousing. I understand why we're using that. Right. This is hoarding. That is, and in what? Protest? Protest that you can't get triple what the spot is worth, quadruple what the spot is worth. So you'd rather just take the L? I'll take no money if I can't get more money.
Right.
Like, I don't understand. These are the same people who talk about the cities, you know, being destroyed by the homeless people. You are creating a housing crisis. You are part of the problem. And you want to go to the Supreme Court and say, no, honestly, I have the right. I have the right to do whatever I want with my property, except for you don't. Because it isn't just a your property. This isn't your house. This isn't your commercial building
right.
that you do your business in. You have decided. However you are going, if this is an investment property for you, if this is now the way that you're going to get your little nest egg, this is the way that you passively get your income. You don't get to not do the things you need to do as a landlord, but then petition the Supreme Court to allow you to do dastardly things to tenants. Imagine what would happen. Mm. Imagine what would happen. New York City, where it is today, right now, to your point, Ambush, of where the mayor is like, help me.
Right.
And we'll just, those 13,362 apartments are potentially, quadruple in price. Moving people where? Like, I just do not understand the idea of I'm going to own buildings in order to ruin lives.
Yeah. We got a text. Good morning. We're out here hearing you.
Thank you. Ago. Good morning.
And then more recently, same person suggestion, vacancy tax.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. They'll find a way to avoid it, but
Yeah.
But yeah, the idea that we need to incentivize the people who have, who are already making profit. Like, somebody explain it to me. So you buy a building that you know is rent stabilized because it's not a surprise.
Right. This has been in.
There's absolutely.
Since 1969.
Yeah. There's absolutely no way that you're buying this building unawares that the rent here cannot increase so much so fast that you drive people out and you leave them homeless. This is real basic. Like, so to the amount of greed, the sheer greed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the audacity for you to be like, how dare you get in the way of my greed? How dare you get in the way of my profits? I see them. I watched an online, tutorial or a, what do they call them? A course.
Webinar.
A webinar that taught me how to make all my money this way. And you're in the way of it. The unmitigated gall for you to talk about going to the Supreme Court.
There's something in this, like, amount of hubris that reminds me so much of what we're seeing from the movie studios. Like, I'll rather not make money at all. I'd rather bring everything.
We'll to starve you out.
Yeah. Screeching halt. You know, because I ain't bending. I mean,
I will not fold. And by fold, I mean, I will not pay you right. what you are worth. And I will not
allow you to have housing that you can afford.
That you can afford.
Like, I remember this popping up the first time for me, this whole dynamic, when it was here in Portland during the pandemic, when landlords had funds that they could tap into to cover for their tenants that were out of work.
Right.
And the landlord's like, no, we don't want that. We want our full rent. We don't want this portion. No, I'd rather not.
I'll just not get it. Also, but do run it to me. Because right. those landlords did not actually turn anything down. Those landlords actually took that subsidization. Is that how you say that? Subsidization. Mm-hmm. Took that money, then complained about those tenants who could not pay, complained about the stop gaps that were put in place to
evict them.
Help mitigate a housing crisis on top of a housing crisis. However, much like many of the things that are working in this country, we couldn't do that for too long.
No.
Because somebody might actually prosper. Somebody might actually be able to live without having to sell a finger. So that's not going to work. We're going to have to get all of that back in blood. So now let's just pretend like none of that happened. Let's pretend that there was no quarantine. Let's pretend that there was no swaths of people being laid off.
Right. There were no adverse conditions.
There were no adverse conditions. Nobody was getting so sick that they died. Nobody was dealing with the fact that their friends and family were dying. Not a thing. You don't need anything else. Because everybody came out of this just fine.
Yeah, look, I mean, look, I'm still here.
And I can't believe that you want to start talking about COVID now, 1984. I'm not doing it again. Mm. We will continue every single one of these cycles.
Yep.
The fact that it's 2023 and we're talking about rent stabilization in one way too expensive to live place. And the fact that there's a ban on rent stabilization in California, who did that make sense to? Hmm. Who was that for? Certainly not the majority of the population of that state in any one of its millions of cities.
Right.
Like, it doesn't make, it's very much the where my brain broke when you're in elementary school learning about slavery. And it's like, wait, but so why would they be beating the people that do the job for, like,
right.
Why would you starve someone who then you expect to work the next, like, those things just never jived. I didn't understand. What do you mean? Same thing. Same thing. Like, the expectation of it's absolutely, totally fine that you are victimized time and time again. Get up, go to work, pay your rent. Not my fault that you don't have enough money to buy a house, okay? Not my issue. Where were your parents? How come they didn't give you a
nest egg? I mean, understand that even as I'm raising your rent, me being the landlord, it's not about you. Don't take it personal. This is about the market. You know?
Oh, man.
I'm just balancing things out with this very competitive market.
You know, I've got a mortgage to pay.
Did you know?
You know what kills me, Ambush? The amount of complaining that landlords who chose to do a thing that you absolutely have to choose. This is not like, oh, I just fell into it. Or
I hear landlords, but it sounds like you're talking about police, but go ahead.
All in the same vein. You are choosing this. This is your entrepreneurial spirit.
You monster. Why'd you tap that?
You are here deciding to make profit off of a human basic need. Every single body, in order to be a functional human being in this society, needs safe housing.
Facts.
And your idea is, well, actually, I'm providing a service for you.
An anxiety-ridden service.
And I have, so what about my mortgage? What about repairs? What about the cost of doing business, the business that you chose? The cost you don't even pay for? The cost of doing business that every single one of the renters that you have pays for, you get to complain about? You get to do absolutely zero. No kind of upgrade, no kind of maintenance. You get to do absolutely zero and raise the rent.
Right.
Make it make sense. I don't get, what does the market have to do with the fact that you have not fixed the washer and dryer? But you expect me to continue to pay you over market rent and then complain about repairs? Complain about the mortgage you have to pay? Interest rates went up? Sounds like a you problem. Can't imagine why that is now being passed on to me. The person who has not received anything different.
No.
No different service, no different anything. Now I'm paying for it.
Not even receiving what was agreed upon.
That sounds like welfare. Mm. That sounds like a handout.
Mm.
That doesn't sound like a merit-based system in which you make the most money because you're the smartest. It sounds like exploitation.
It does. Sorry. No. No, I mean, a vein was tapped there. And I wanted that to run.
I'm big mad at it. It really grosses me out just how it's totally fine. It's totally fine to be openly greedy and at the same time judgmental towards the people that you are exploiting. That does not... How? How?
Yeah, it's kind of weird to be able to be that, I don't want to say evil, but an enemy of progress like that in public. Again.
Loudly.
There it is. Loudly.
I mean, we know that some of the most wrong people are the loudest ones, but.
They're so tone deaf. They just don't see it.
Fam, the audacity to go, you know who should hear us out? The Supreme Court.
We got a guy up there.
I mean, but they do.
Do you know we got a guy up
because
there?
Because when Harlan Crow is supporting the, I mean, honestly, just even the names of these places.
Yeah.
The Rent Stabilization Association or something like that, that literally you are doing the exact opposite of that.
Exactly.
The community housing something program. Like, what? But yeah, when you're Harlan Crow and you're out here just funding all of this nonsense in order to just keep your own status. It isn't even like he's making sure everybody else around him gets some status. This is really about me.
Yeah.
Making the right friends and connections. Putting boats in the right people's driveways.
Was it paying his mother's mortgage?
Buying mom's houses. Every mama need a house. You know? Bought and paid for by a billionaire who will then cash in on that favor later. Everybody deserves.
Like, you have to be able to explain that. You have to be able to explain that. This billionaire bought this Supreme Court justice's mom a house.
And then that Supreme Court justice didn't tell nobody about it. And then that Supreme Court justice's wife was like, you know what we should do? A coup.
What?
Wait, did we only did one story so far.
Yeah.
Oh, we're bugging.
It's quite all right.
Y'all, I don't know what happened. It's a vortex or something. How did it become? How have we been here for almost an hour?
Yeah, that is kind of, it's kind of weird how that happened.
I'm confused. Almost. It's almost like Mercury is in aspartame.
Ha ha! Mercury is an aspartame.
Yeah.
It is. Oh, that's good.
I don't even know where you guys are. I mean, I do appreciate it. Thank you again, fiance, who let me know that you're out there and you are hearing us.
In more national news, a man lost his life at the hands of a Philadelphia police officer, and the department lied about it.
Gasp.
Gasp.
Shock.
Awe. The Philadelphia Police Department announced the firing of a police officer involved in the fatal shooting of a man sitting in a car. Philadelphia Police Officer Mark Dial, a 5-year veteran, has been under scrutiny since the deadly shooting of Eddie Jose Arizari, on August 14th. The incident sparked outrage, particularly after security video emerged contradicting the initial police account. The video released by Shaka Johnson, an attorney for Arizari's family, shows a police vehicle pulling up next to Arizari's car. Within seconds, officers are seen yelling, "Show me your hands," before one officer opens fire multiple times at the vehicle. Arizari is then pulled out of the car. He was later pronounced dead at a hospital. His family and their attorney maintained that his erratic driving should not have resulted in a fatal encounter with the police. Philadelphia Police Commissioner Daniel Outlaw announced a suspension of Officer Dial with the intention to terminate his employment after 30 days. This action is related to Dial's alleged refusal to cooperate with the investigation. The incident has raised questions about police accountability and transparency. Arizari's family has demanded access to the body camera footage, but the release of the video remains pending, subject to the decision of the district attorney's office. While authorities have reported the presence of knives in Arizari's vehicle, his family states that one of the knives was used for his work as a mechanic and was given to him by his father. It's also noted that Arizari had no previous arrests nor negative encounters with law enforcement. The situation has ignited calls for justice, with Arizari's family seeking accountability for the loss of their loved one. Investigations are ongoing, with the district attorney's office and the police department conducting separate probes into the incident. My question is, if there's no consequence for law enforcement lying, then what are we doing?
Is that your question? Because I feel like we already know that.
I mean, well, I guess my question is, why are we okay with this? Why are we okay with this? We have, you know, different levels of bureaucracy all within the police unions that protect them. But why, when it comes time to renegotiate, you know, why are we okay with there being literally no penalty enforced? Because they'll say, oh, we have measures on the books. Why are we okay with no penalties being enforced when police officers just lie?
Right.
Just flat out lie. How are we going to, what's the incentive for them to tell the truth for something caught on video? Because, I mean, to me, that's the most egregious part of it. It's before body cameras, sure, before cell phones and all of that, these officers would be caught on multiple videos, all types of angles.
Many angles. And just be like, 4K.
Didn't happen.
HD.
Didn't happen. Like,
they said he lunged. He was out of his car and he lunged. And what, without the footage, without the surveillance camera, we would just keep saying that.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. Even the eyewitnesses that are there that are like, no one ever got out of the car, doesn't matter.
Right. Now, so again, there's like, I'm so glad you brought that up. This is the ripple effect, right? The ripple effect of things that happen. You want to talk about community relationships. You want to talk about the community showing up for law enforcement and assisting them with investigations. When law enforcement will do something like this and completely discount the word of the exact citizens they claim they want help from. We really need the community's assistance. Which community? The community that you call liars when we say, no, this man was shot in his car? I mean, the only reason this is a thing is because it was caught on someone's Ring cam. The police body cam footage has not been released.
Right.
Right? And their official story, spokesperson. So this is why, for me, it's not like you know, a cop tweeted this. The spokesperson for the department gave that assessment that he lunged. The report is that, but y'all have the footage. It's not like you have to go somewhere else to get it. Y'all have reviewed this footage and decided this is what we're going to say to the public. No, come on, man.
What's even, I just want to add to that, like, you know when somebody's lying in your face, right?
Right.
And you know, like, at work, a coworker is making up a story and it's kind of like, no, I did send that email, but it didn't go all the way.
Right. It's stuck.
Okay, show it to forward it then. Well, it's outbox sent draft. I don't know where that dang technology. You know when someone's lying to you.
Yeah.
So as who, you know, the bosses over there, when these people come back after having shot and killed someone and they start hitting you with the
right.
I was scared. They just hit you with the lines that they have been taught. I was scared for my life. They lunged at me. They came at me. Nobody else felt like they needed to shoot. But boy, oh boy, shaking in your boots.
Right.
When you're telling those lies and then you're hearing those, like, they know. There is no question. Shout out to the text. One says, funny that name, Danielle Outlaw. Sounds familiar, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody should remember. Mm-hmm. Been there, done that. She gave a rousing example of what it means to be a police chief here.
That was their second text. They followed right up with that. I think that that's in their leadership.
Uh-huh.
Daniel Outlaw learned here in Portland, Oregon, how to get around cameras.
Boy.
These cops forget that human beings have cameras.
That's the thing. There's this, like, I don't have to have my own camera on, right? Because Portland is like, I guess we'll get to it when we get to it.
Right.
Other places that are supposed to have them, they will turn that thing off. Oh, it malfunctioned. Where's IT when you need it?
Right.
You know, they do not care. However, completely forgetting you're on the outside. There are surveillance cameras everywhere. There are people with cell phones. There are children with cell phones,
right,
that they know how to work that camera. Now, they will absolutely just steal the camera from you or absolutely,
oh, yeah,
you know, try to intimidate you so much or arrest you. Not at all above arresting you, yeah, for doing a thing that's not illegal. Yeah. They'll absolutely do that.
And we've seen the harassment continue with people that have caught police on camera, like months, years after the incident. They're still harassing that person, still harassing their family members. You know, it's just, it's absolutely ridiculous. And in this situation where that was the official report from the police department, and now we're going to fire the one person, the murderer, sure. But where's the, this is a system. This isn't the lone wolf. This isn't the bad apple. This is a system. There are many people that had to sign off. You know what I'm saying? That there's levels to this. Someone reviewed it, persons reviewed the video and decided this is what the statement's going to be. Who are all of the people in the chain of that, those events? Because that's always it for me. That's always it for me. Let's talk about the system. Who are the people that have made these egregious decisions? Bring them to light and let's have that conversation. Why did you think that was the route to go? Because we didn't think the video would get out. Okay. All right. Okay. It did. But in the interest of trust, in the interest of justice and whatever else you guys are supposed to be doing in that building, whatever the purpose of that badge is, how does this work? Why is it more important? Why is it more important that police get to move with impunity?
Well, because one day they're going to need to protect my property.
Mm.
And I need them to be able to do whatever they need to do that.
In order to accomplish that goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is it more important that they get to operate, again, in the profession that allows you to extinguish human life, they get to operate with the least amount of consequences. I could not lie this much on any job. Right? I could not imagine working for anyone, and there is an atmosphere or system there that encourages that we lie to the people we're supposed to be.
Well, you know, to be fair, I'm going to stop you there just because
that sales.
That is work. The work culture is cover CYA.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I don't know if that's global, but nationally. We are, you know, rugged individuals. Mm. We don't, we're not really about, you know, all that teamwork and things. I mean, this team is in fact a family, and we do need you to treat us as such, but make sure that you CYA, because I don't want to have to deal with my boss coming down on me because you did something.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you know, that it's just different, varying degrees of severity. So if you are lying about, you know, not sending an email or not setting up a meeting, that's one thing. If you are lying about the brutality you did today, if you are lying about murdering somebody, if you are lying about discharging your weapon, you don't get to come and talk to me about how you are here to enforce laws. No, you are in here. You are here to enforce your power on other people. That's it. That's it. Because there's no, what's the equivalent of you get to go and do this, you know? Oh, I'll just, I was scared, so I killed someone several times at work.
Right.
Like, what?
Right.
Then you're in the wrong line of work. Like, that's not a work you should do.
Listen, this is what the text came in. An armed officer in a fully equipped cruiser who says an unarmed person made him fear for his life is in the wrong line of work.
Okay. Who are you? Why are you in my head? How is this happening?
Like, literally.
Fiance. What you just said. Nah, that's it.
That's it. Like.
Go work at the Gap.
It's way safer, bro.
Honestly, it might not be. You're going to encounter more people that are shoplifting than you do out in your cruiser.
Oh, man. If you go work at the Gap, you're going to be tackling people. Don't work at the Gap.
Yeah, don't go there. I don't know. Bath and Body Works? Where can we put you?
The ice room.
Because you're terrified.
The ice room.
Maybe there's something there that you can unpack with your therapist. And that is no shade. Do that. Grow up. Talk to somebody. Do not do power trips at work on the citizens you are sworn to protect. But Ambush, I do want to say that that is not their job. And
no,
we keep saying that. And we keep expecting them to do that.
Because we want to address the marketing. And
because I'm tired of seeing that you're protecting and serving the entire city on the side of the cruiser that you're sitting in, texting, and then running the light while then on your way to go shoot somebody.
It can't be you guys are never wrong. There's too much that happens at your hands for.
There's a common denominator.
Yeah, it just can't be that. It can't, y'all. It really can't. And until we're okay with them having the exact same consequences that we have for lying on your job, this is going to continue. But it's absolutely ridiculous. Like, I don't know who does this. Who watches The Watchmen? Who do we turn to say, hey, we need you to get on this. We need you to get on making sure there are levels of accountability and consequences for something as simple as police filing false reports.
Well, I mean, if that ain't the best segue into absolutely nothing, Ambush, there's nothing we can do. You know, who are the people that are going to do it? Definitely not the police chiefs out there. Certainly not Daniel Outlaw. Certainly not Chuck Lavelle. Not the ones that we've been privy to.
No, no.
No matter how many times they go to a new city, it's amazing how it's as if those skills do not transfer. We just stay the same. We are just real stagnant.
The right skills have.
Well, okay. Point made.
Got a couple more texts. Fiance, it's not fear and scared. It's self-gratification hidden behind qualified immunity.
Okay, where are the reggae horns?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Absolutely right. I say fear because that's what they tell us, and it's also what we see them shaking in their boots every time they right. are like, da-da-da-da-da. But, you know, I hear you. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that we get to.
Yes.
Because yes. who do we turn yes. to when the police lie? I don't know, ambush. Because here in our very own little, you know, quaint, sleepy, not so big, not so small city.
This is the one, y'all.
What do they call it? It's a big little town. I don't know. Yeah. Are you trying it in a small town?
Right.
Is that what's happening?
Yeah. Try that.
This is a story ongoing, has been happening, and also we have continuously talked about the rampant anti-blackness of Portland altogether, but then certainly elected officials and police.
Facts.
So, as you know, the very first and only so far black woman to be elected to the Portland City Council, which was elected in 2019.
Yeah.
I don't know, how do we call it?
Railroaded?
Framed?
Kneecapped?
former Commissioner Hardesty handled the city very gently. And maybe the taxpayers should be thanking her instead of calling for her head and saying that she is still the cause of everything that has happened here. An apology letter to former Portland Commissioner Joanne Hardesty was issued earlier this week by Mayor Ted Wheeler on behalf of the city of Portland as part of a legal settlement with Hardesty. Hardesty, who served on the Portland City Council from 2019 to 2022, sued the city, officers, and the police union in 2021 following the leak of false information about her by members of the Portland Police Bureau to their personal friends, a local conservative media outlet, and the Oregonian. Police, including the head of the police union, Brian Hunziker, alleged Hardesty was the driver in a hit and run in March 2021 after a caller told 911 dispatchers she was rear-ended by Hardesty. The false information was then circulated by police and dispatchers of the Bureau of Emergency Communications in violation of city and state laws. Hunziker was terminated for his role in spreading the false claims to the media, but later reinstated after a state labor arbitrator strayed from the other three investigations findings and determined though his actions were terrible, he shouldn't have been fired because his motives were unclear and also, when you're the police union head, it's different than when you're an officer. Hardesty alleged the leaks portrayed her in a false light that were racially motivated. Her lawsuit also asserted police sought to retaliate against her for her vocal criticisms of police at the time, or policing at the time, causing damage to her reputation and future economic status. Hardesty sought a total of $5 million, $3 million from the Portland Police Association, and $1 million each from individual officers Brian Hunziker and Carrie Ottoman. A third officer was involved in the leak, but not named in the lawsuit. Mm. Joanne Hardesty sued the city for $1. The internal investigation into the incident, which confirmed officer and PPA president at the time, Hunziker released the false information in retaliation to allegations Hardesty made about police officers setting fires during the 2020 Portland protests. Hardesty later apologized for those remarks. On Monday, the court received notice that Hardesty had accepted a settlement offer from the city that included $5,000, reasonable attorney fees, and a signed statement by Wheeler acknowledging the harm done and apologizing on behalf of the city. The city noted that its settlement offer is not an admission of liability. Mm. Wheeler's statement reads in full, quote, Portland Police Bureau employees acted outside the course and scope. I'm sorry, this is not the full. I didn't mean to say in full, but this is a quote. Portland Police Bureau employees acted outside the course and scope of their employment, leaked confidential information about Commissioner Hardesty. The The leaks negatively impacted Commissioner Hardesty's public image and undermined her efforts to bring about police transformation and reform. The city does not condone these actions. On behalf of the city, I apologize for the conduct. The former commissioner's lawsuit against the PPA, Hunziker, and Ottoman remain active.
Get that going right.
Ambush? There's not a lot of time. But the amount of people that I saw, and well, you know, the internet's the internet, and I say this every week. There is a portion of people that are very loud with opinions that are very wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And those definitely make it into, you know, my timeline frequently because the algorithm knows I love a hate tweet, I guess. She sued the city for a dollar, which is literally protecting the taxpayers of this city.
Right.
She's going after the actual wrongdoers, not just, you know, scapegoating, not allowing them to just like go on about their business and make the city pay for it. Which is exactly what the police do
right.
when they kill somebody, when they brutalize somebody. They make us pay for it. That's another thing that I can't understand. Y'all want to give them the power to do it and then the power to make you pay for it.
Right. Charge us with it.
Woo.
Give us the bill.
Woo.
Are you kidding me?
So number one off top, I don't care if you like Joanne Hardesty or not. Did she just help you by not getting a whole bunch of money from the city? Yeah. You are not paying for the mistakes of Ted Wheeler's police bureau. So thank you.
You know what's super ugly about this? For me, it'd be really easy to sit across from someone who sees Joanne Hardesty as the villain, right? And I'll ask a simple question. Were this you? How would you feel? Could you can't even put yourself in her shoes. Nothing about her is relatable to you, this black woman.
At all.
Nothing.
Have you never been so passionate about something that is not for yourself that you go and fight for other people?
Right.
And I don't mean the moment that you guys have decided that we will, you know, stop the jab or keep the masks off your kids. I mean, actually trying to keep people safe.
Yeah.
Because I think that might be part of the disconnect.
The choice that you're making for it to be okay that a police officer lies on you, get you involved in a crime. It's fine for that black woman.
Right.
Yeah, it's whatever. You know, okay, so she didn't do
it. So it wasn't her. It was a different black lady.
Okay, whatever.
They do all look alike.
You'd be okay with that for you? You wouldn't be trying to sue the city, the county, the state, everybody for everything? You wouldn't, I mean, also on the other end of that, it's okay that when the police get sued, we pay like I don't.
None of it
so
makes
many
sense.
Different places you're they
never,
disconnect.
Yeah, you're never gonna make this make sense. You cannot, as they say, square this circle.
Can't.
The police are so fragile that one little teeny tiny black lady saying the police should be defunded and getting folks in the crowd. Of a protest that's happening because the police brutalize citizens and are able to kill them in front of cameras and then still say, not my fault. You don't want the accountability. And you don't want the accountability because you want the police to be able to kill somebody that is, I don't know, breaking into your house or, you know, stole your car or whatever it is that you are so worried about. They broke your window. They should die. They stole a loaf of bread. Die. You right. want that.
Right.
The police, you are fine with the police retaliating? Not just against citizens, against a sitting city commissioner. You know how bold you gotta be? You gotta be extra bold. Everybody knows the business here, right? This is a smaller situation. It's not like there's 40,000 cops here. There's also the police are absolutely banking on the fact that everybody that does, in fact, support them absolutely doesn't read.
Right.
absolutely does not understand any of the situations because they don't go back to anything. The police were never defunded. Their budget is bigger than ever. Have those problems that you've been blaming on Joanne Hardesty since 2019. Have they gotten better or worse? Tell me right now, right, quickly, fast, because if they haven't gotten better, and not only is she gone, but the police have the biggest budget they've ever had. Tell me, did it work? Quick. Expeditiously. Did it work?
There was a warm-up for this story for me. Earlier this week, an account that I follow on Instagram posted the photo of a man that assaulted a small business owner downtown. And in the comments, someone says, they will catch him, release him without setting bail, and he'll be back on the streets in 4 hours. He will never be prosecuted.
In 4 hours?
Because you all voted against yourselves by electing the morons in this county and city. And then, when he assaults someone else in the future, you all will blame the defunded police for not doing a better job. Business owners should make a point. Move out of Multnomah County in the city of Portland.
Yeah.
Send a message.
Okay.
No one in City Hall cares about you or your business.
Yeah.
All they care about is how much federal funds they can pocket to do nothing while saying they're tackling the unhoused and homeless issue. I said, PPB has the largest budget they've ever had.
Hello.
Purchase not one, but two planes. And those of you that claim to be paying attention are still running with this defunded narrative. They respond, you're partially right.
Mm-hmm.
They had to refund after defunding them because crime was allowed to be so bad. This crime got out of hand due to cops quitting because of lack of support from elected officials.
Oh, my word.
And defunding of many vital departments.
Yes,
and
then the ones that actually are the crack skulls departments.
Right. I said, with their current budget, they still aren't doing their jobs. At some point, the coach and the players have to be held accountable. Can't keep blaming the fans and the front office. Them not doing their work is a morale issue. If you don't like being a cop anymore, quit. But they shouldn't be spreading lies to cover up for their work slowdown.
Thank you for sharing that, yeah. Ambush. Sorry for jumping in and starting to scream about it. We got to stop using so many words because these people are not here for that. They're not here for that. You're partially right. They had to refund to because they
defund. Your mouth.
If you aren't starting with the police made a concerted effort to not do their job, then I know for certain you are actually not qualified for the conversation.
Nah.
If you think that the police were defunded and that just made all those police quit, if you believe that, why are you okay with those police quitting their job that you believe is the most important thing a person could do, the most selfless act, the most dangerous job?
Right.
Why are you okay with them quitting their job because they don't get to just absolutely brutalize people with impunity? Because that's the baby step that we were even looking for in the moment. None of the things in the 2020 protests were about to be abolishing the police or the prison industrial complex.
Right.
Y'all act like slippery slope. No, a slippery slope is allowing people to murder citizens in the place they are supposed to protect them and then let them go back to Washington or wherever they live.
Right.
Get another job while they're working here. Lie about people. I mean, if I said this person right here hit my car and left and that never happened, I have now made a false report, which is a chargeable offense.
Right.
So where is the charge? Where's the charge for Hunziker? Where's the charge for the other one, Kiki, and with her friends?
Right.
Where are we holding accountable the three Save Our Portland people? Tangela and them.
Defamation. What's it?
You know, where's Cardi B when you need her? Because she knows how to make sure that people pay when they be out here lying.
Right.
You ruined a woman's career who was not harming the city in the way that you think. In order to be able, you were just mad. Three different investigations say that you retaliated. You yourself admit to it.
Right.
Y'all not the bitter Bettys? Imagine. Sorry, there's a text. The disconnected, not doing the work and actually knowing what the work is. Yes, Joanne's quite a queen. And Portland, Oregon is better for her work. The system relies on our ignorance. Absolutely.
Yep.
And the system pays in to make sure that we are. I mean, you know, exponentially.
Yeah.
So much money is spent to make you think that, you know, the police have a really dangerous job. All of them are ODing on fentanyl right now because it exists.
Okay.
They don't even have to be next to it.
Okay. What? All right. Because if there isn't a clearer example, like they are filming themselves lying. At what point? Like, come on, bro. Come on.
You remember, real quick, remember when the vaccine first, first dropped that fresh pack?
Yeah.
And people started doing the, oh, I'm just trembling and shaking. And now I can't work and I can't walk because I got the jab. That's the police ODing on fentanyl.
I wanted to push those people over.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Chair. Yeah. Like, that's look at it, right? Look at the theater that's been created. Look at the environment. The environment literally fosters lies. It grows them organically. When you create when you insulate them from the consequence of lying, they take it a step further and start producing their own content. So here it is now.
Like, who else is going to watch my hog talk?
Right. Know? I need you to listen. I need you to shake a little bit more. We're going to do another take.
Not in the content house. Start over.
Right. Like, what? That's not okay. You don't get fired for that. And I mean, there are people that are going to say, oh, you guys just want to fire them for everything. Can we fire them from anything? Can we fire them for the one thing? I need consequences. I need it. I need it. It can't be my consequence of not doing what they say or listening to them in the moment can be death.
Complying. You should have just complied.
My consequence for lack of compliance is death. Your consequence for lying is nothing.
Starbucks. You just get a coffee. Maybe you needed to, your blood sugar was low. So you gotta get a lemon loaf.
Oh.
And maybe the lies stop when you get a lemon loaf.
Maybe.
That might be it.
Give them some lemon loaves.
I don't know. I'm exhausted with the fact that this ain't been different. It's not different. And somehow it is very much the same, but also nobody's heard of it before, or they don't understand, or they can't understand why anybody would look to the past to put it to the present. What's different, babe? When the police can actually kill you and go home and eat dinner, what changed?
Tell me. We got a couple of texts, but we don't have time to read them all.
Yeah.
Falling deeper in love with y'all this morning.
Ew.
It's Thursday love. Thank you, fiancés. Thank all of you for joining the conversation. Hey, man. This is my fiance. Brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush and our podcast editor, Kyle G.
Only
like Kyle G with the G's. Big Bang Kyle G.
Oh, I like it. Big Bang do take little bang.
That's what I say every week. Please, please, do not let the individual distract you from the system, from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for Tom Hartman.
Bye.